Well, here's what we've been doing at Evident Life Church for the past month. We've been responding to the Lord's call for His church to catch and to embrace His heart for others, God's heart for others. See, we've been talking about how God loves people. And because we're God's people, we therefore love people. See how that works? It's beautiful, man. As we continue to get God's heart, we love people. And so we're called to love people so much that we're not okay with them remaining lost. I love the testimony from Tab this morning. She was supposed to testify about that last week, but she went to Florida instead. But I love the fact that testimony that we love people so much, it doesn't matter who they are, what the situation is, what they believe right now, what they look like, what they say or don't say. We love them so much that we're not okay with them remaining lost. We got to tell them about Jesus. We got to love them the way God wants them to be loved. We're not okay with people going to hell. And we want Jesus to receive the reward of His suffering. And so we seek out the lost and love them and introduce them to Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to what? To seek and save what was lost." That's why He came to this earth. He came here to seek and save people. Lost people, hurting people, lonely people. That's why He came down from His place in heaven. To seek and save the lost, the lonely, the hurting. And Jesus has given us, His followers, this great commission to partner with Him in the mission of seeking out and saving the lost. I was thinking this week about the reality of how much time do we spend responding to other people? For instance, you know, if you work for somebody and you have a boss, an employer, we'll call him an employer. I like that better than boss. So you have an employer and your employer asks you to do something. What do? You respond to them and you do it to the best of your ability. You go after it. You want to make sure that you do what they've asked you to do because they're your employer. You feel a responsibility to do that. I think about us as parents. We have children. We feel a responsibility to respond to them, to care for them, to meet their needs, to comfort them. So we do that. We spend time doing that. We spend energy doing that. It's in our hearts. It's on our minds. It's just what we do. I think of the kids that are going to be going back to school. They're like, oh no, you're going back to school really soon, right? If you're in the Chandler School District, you're already in school. Our neighbor Ty is in the Chandler School District, and he's already back in school, and my kids are still outside playing and swimming. But anyway, praise God. But kids, you're going back to school, and when your teacher gives you an assignment, you do the assignment. When you have a test, you spend the time responding to that reality and studying to take that test. Well, Jesus, the Son of God, the one who hung on a cross to redeem us, to save us, to rescue us, He's given us, the church, an assignment. And He's asking for us to respond to that assignment. And that assignment is, be My witnesses, Jesus said. Bring My kingdom. Build up My family. Grow My family. Seek and save the lost. He's given that assignment to us, the redeemed, the people of God. How much of our time and effort are going into what Jesus has asked us? And again, as I say often, I got to bring you in on this because I deal with this all week long as the Lord's putting this stuff on my heart. Okay, I'm preaching it, but I mean, I'm living it. I'm processing just exactly the same stuff all week long. How much of my time am I spending responding to the assignment that God has given me? How much of my time and my effort and my focus is on the lost and the lonely and loving them? And so we continue to look for Jesus for direction, because if we try to do it in our own understanding, we're going to mess it up. So Jesus said this in John chapter 8. This is in verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we notice Jesus is the light. That's why he came, was to be the light, to rescue people. And he rescues people out of darkness. He brings people as the light into a place of freedom, into a place of healing, into a place of peace, and into salvation. It's Jesus who saves. He's the light leading people out of darkness into salvation. That's who he is. But Jesus also said that we have the light, and we are actually the light of life as his followers. Check this out. See, what happens is Jesus gets us, his church, involved in his mission. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. Jesus getting you involved here. Take your eyes off the screen for just a moment here. This is awesome. Being a member of God's family is not a spectator sport. It isn't. It's not like going home and sitting in front of the television and eating potato chips and watching other people do life, you know. That's not Christianity. I mean, we're involved in this. God gets us involved. I think that's awesome. You know how boring it is to sit around and watch other people have all the fun? We get to be part of the fun. God gets us involved. So Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 14. You, Jesus is talking to the church. That's you. He says, you, church, are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. I mean, come on, you're going to see it. It's on the hill. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And Jesus continues. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So who is the light? Jesus has told us that we are the light. You're right. We are the light. The church, his followers, we are the light right now. We're the lamp. We're the lamp that burns bright and displays the glory of God, that actually lets the world see the kingdom of God. We're the light that allows people to see God himself. We, the church, we are the light, you and me. You got to know that. And I know there's some people in the room right now who are thinking, there's no way that I'm the light. Remember that junk I did back in the day. I struggle, man. I still struggle with things. I don't get it all right. How can I be the light? Get over it. Stop thinking about all that negative stuff. Start focusing on who Jesus is and who you are in Christ Jesus. You're the light. You're a saint. You're what the world needs. You're the light. You are. I talked about it earlier. We got to stop allowing the enemy to keep us focusing on the negative, all the garbage, and start looking to Jesus and start looking to what he's doing and who he is and who we are in him. I mean, it seems like that's what God's word continues to do throughout the word of God. The writings of the apostles, the words of Jesus. It's like, get your mind and your eyes off of the old and look to the new. This is who you are now. Stop it. Take off that old stuff. Don't think that way anymore. Think my way. Amen. Amen. I love my brother Don. Hallelujah. We are what the world needs. Church, we are. We are what the world needs because we carry Jesus. We're the light. But where are we supposed to shine? That's where I kind of want to transition into right now. We're the light of the world. Where are we supposed to shine? It says in Matthew 5:14, shine in the world. Shine in the world. And then it says in verse 16 of Matthew 5, it says shine before men, shine before people. Because after all, Jesus came for people. And he's the light of the world, and now he says, you're the light of the world, so we're to shine before people. Not hiding the light in our church building. Not hiding the light in our homes. But shining in the world before people. And so, we're here for such a time as this, for the purpose of shining the light of Jesus Christ into the darkness. Is there darkness out there? Yeah, there's a lot of darkness. Turn on the evening news. I don't even watch the evening news. Can't stand it. All they do is focus on the darkness. A good friend of mine, Dr. Andy Jackson, would always say when he would teach and we'd be in meetings and people would start focusing on all the negatives, he said, okay, that's enough, that's enough. We got to stop focusing and cursing the darkness, and we got to start shining a light. And church, that's what we got to do. I mean, it's so easy to get on Facebook and curse the darkness and say everything that's wrong with the world. It's so easy because all you got to do is hit the share button, put your little blurb in there, and yep, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You know what it is? A lot of it is. But what are we going to do? Just keep cursing the darkness? Or are we going to shine the light? We're going to be the light and bring Jesus into the world. That's our assignment. Our assignment isn't to curse the darkness, isn't just to focus on the darkness and hide in the church and hide in our homes and have our little light meetings amongst us and let the world just go to hell in a handbasket. No, we are commissioned. We are told by Jesus himself, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Turn with me. We're going to be in John chapter 17. Jesus says, beginning in verse 11 of John 17, he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. He's talking about the church, they. But they are still in the world. I am coming to you. He's talking to the Father. And he says, Holy Father, protect them, the church, by the power of your name, the name you gave me. I just want to get off track here just a little bit, although it's coming from the Word of God here. The name you gave me. Keep them in your name, the name you gave me. You know, sometimes we get so worried about, why do you keep saying, in Jesus' name, and you say that when you pray all the time. I mean, there are religious people, you know, who have issues with different things, and they major on the minors and all that kind of stuff and all that. There is power in the name of Jesus, church. I mean, there is serious power in His name. Jesus is saying, protect them in your name, the name which you gave me. There's power in the name of Jesus. Never forget that. Never underestimate it. Speak his name. Peter and John went to pray, and Peter prays for the guy and just says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in his name, rise up and walk. Boom. Power in his name. He rose up and he walked. Anyway, let's get back to here. All right, that's just extra credit. Praise God. Okay, so protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Verse 12. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Then check this out. I'm coming to you now. Jesus talking to the Father. I'm coming to you now. But I will say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they, the church, may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. But now check out where Jesus goes, verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. And he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. He's talking about the church, his followers, us. I have sent them into the world. Notice, not only are we in the world, but Jesus has sent us into the world. He sent us. Webster's Dictionary defines the word sent as this. Sent means to tell or cause someone to go to a place. To cause someone to go to a place. So the church, we are not here by accident. We're not in the world right now by accident. We're not in some kind of holding pattern right now. We are waiting for Jesus to come back, and we cry out for that, and we're told to pray for that and long for that. The Spirit and the bride, the church, says, come, come, Lord Jesus, come and return. But we're not supposed to be the church that's in a holding pattern, all curled up in our church buildings and in our homes, just waiting for Him to return. We have been sent into the world. That's where Jesus wants us. I love that He says, I've sent Him into the world, even though the world's going to hate Him. Is Jesus big enough? Is God big enough? All right, He'll work it out. Being in the world is actually a command. It's a mission given to the church by Jesus. We are sent. We're sent. And we can't forget that, church. We are sent. And so we're directed by God to be in the world. Now check this out. 4 weeks ago, while I was in the prayer room, right over there on the other side of this wall, I was in the prayer room about 4, maybe 5 weeks ago, and the Lord gave me this word for this church. He said, I am calling this church, Evident Life, to be a community-integrated church. I'm like, well, that sounds cool. What does that mean, God? We're called to be a community-integrated church. And He started saying, look, I'm not calling you to be a church of the world, obviously, because you're not of the world. But I'm calling you to be a church that is in the world. Calling you to be a church that's in the world. When Jesus walked on this earth, He didn't isolate Himself from the world. He didn't. Jesus didn't come walk on this earth and go look for some like-minded people and go huddle every day with them. Jesus didn't do that. That's not how He lived His life here. He didn't hide. Rather, He walked right into the middle of things and He brought His presence. He brought His kingdom so that He could seek out and rescue the lost, the lonely, and the hurting. That's what Jesus did when He walked on this earth. Jesus was community integrated. What does community integrated church look like? It looks like the life of Jesus, who integrated Himself into the community. Turn with me to Mark 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. The Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 2, beginning verse 15. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Him and His disciples, for there were many who followed Him. Okay, I want to just stop right there for a moment. So Jesus is out and about. He's having dinner over at somebody's house with a bunch of sinners. Interesting. So He's going out looking for the hurting people, for the lost, isn't He? He's actually hanging out with them a little bit. He's getting to know them. He's rubbing shoulders with them. He's hearing their hearts. He's pressing the flesh. For there were many who followed Him. You know, this is an interesting perspective. There are some who think that we got to get people saved before we bring them in to hang out with the family of God, like the church, you know what I'm saying? Church. Got to bring the cleaned ones into church, you know, the saved into church. So we got to go out there, we get them saved. If we get them saved and they get far enough along, then we bring them in. That's not how Jesus did it. Jesus didn't do it that way. Jesus went and did life. And it says that tax collectors, by the way, tax collectors, I just got a call from my accountant this week. And they said, your return got rejected. I'm like, what are you talking about? They got rejected because they said that it was already filed. I'm like, what? What? So they said, here's what's happened is your identity was stolen. Somebody got your name. Somebody got your Social Security number. And they filed taxes before you did, filed a return before you did. And so once yours finally got across their desk, they said, well, this has already been filed. So now we got to go through this whole rigmarole or everything. So tax collectors, I'm telling you, man. So tax collectors and sinners were following Jesus. They were part of His following. They were part of the people that were hanging out with Him and doing life with Him by then. You know, the hundreds that were coming and the thousands that would sit with Him and listen to Him and hang out and eat the miraculous meals of fish and loaves and all that kind of stuff. We're called to bring them in. People need to be with the family of God. They need to be around us. All people. Okay. Where was I? I'm in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. When the teachers, this is in verse 16, when the teachers of the law, These are the religious people. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus didn't come to hide in a church. He didn't. He came to reach the lost, and he doesn't want his church hiding. He wants us shining in our community. He wants his church to be community integrated. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a church that will go into the world and be the light of the world. He wants his presence. Just like when he walked on this earth, he brought his very presence into the world and walked into the world. Yeah, those places where sinners were. He walked into those places. He wants his church to follow in his footsteps. We say, "I'm a follower of Christ." Jesus is with the sick. He's with the hurting. We looked at it last week. He's in the water rescuing the lost and the drowning. That's where Jesus is. You want more Jesus? Get out there with those that Jesus is going after. And you're going to encounter more Jesus. As a community integrated church, what do? We do the very things that we've been talking about that Jesus has called us to do. We be his witnesses. That means we tell people about him. We bring him everywhere we go. We just bring him. I'll go back to Tab and her testimony. It wasn't awkward. It wasn't weird. It wasn't shoving anything down anybody's throat. But she did bring Jesus into the conversation in a very natural way because that's just who she is. She's a child of God. What does she know? She knows Jesus. What's this guy looking for? What's he talking about? She knows Jesus, so she just brought him. She was his witness. His witness. What else do we do as a community integrated church? We bring his kingdom. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. What does it mean to bring the kingdom of God? What it means is it means that the kingdom of this world, the kingdom that Satan has been establishing, where he's putting walls up around different areas of our whole society, and he's walling off the church, and he's walling off the presence of God, and for too long the church has been okay with that, those walls going up. To bring the kingdom of God means that we're not going to be okay with people walled off from the presence of God, but we're going to bring the kingdom of God. We're going to bring the presence of God. We're going to bring the healing of God, the love of God. We're going to bust through the walls. We're going to tear the gates of hell off their hinges, and we're going to bring his kingdom. That's what a community integrated church does. So where there are the places in our community, like schools, that are saying, "We don't want prayer, we don't want God, we don't want the name of Christ," what do? Do we sit back and go, "Okay, we better go back to our church, you know, and just do our church stuff, or run back to our houses?" No. We bring the kingdom of God. We bring the presence of God. We bring prayer. We get wise. We seek counsel. And we bring Jesus into our community. We bring his kingdom. We build his family. What do? We bring people in to the family of God, just like Jesus had sinners hanging out with him and following him. We need to be bringing those lost and hurting people into our gatherings. When we get together, there should be people who are hungry, who are lost and who are hurting that are there. They need to be part of what God is doing. That's how they're going to know him. That's how they're going to encounter him. They're not going to encounter God. Well, I can't say that because God does all kinds of stuff. I mean, he'll show up in visions, you know, in Muslims all over the world. So God does what God does. We know that. He's sovereign. He's perfect. And he is miraculous. But he wants his church bringing his kingdom, his presence, and connecting with the lost, just as he connected with the lost, the sick, the hurting. He modeled it for us. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that for too long the church has been built for spaghetti dinners instead of for tearing down the strongholds and reaching the lost. By the way, another announcement, we do have potluck next week. As a side note, we also are moving into a month of prayer, which I'm going to talk about here in just a minute, that I believe should be launching us into being community integrated and tearing down the gates of hell in our community. It's time for us to change the way that we look at our community. We got to truly see it as a mission field, and we got to go after the lost. And we got to know that we've got God on our side, so we don't need to fear. But let's go. Let's do it. We got to bring the light of Christ into our world. I want to give some personal examples of ways that I am intentionally trying to walk out this community integrated approach to Christianity, this Jesus modeled approach of seeking and saving the lost. Just a few things. Now, I'm not an art guy per se. I do appreciate art. I truly do. But I wouldn't call myself this artist guy, this big promoter of art. But God has connected me with some people in the community, and some of them are artists. And He gave me an idea to talk to some of these artists and to look at coming together and bringing together a group of people that could create an art walk in downtown Gilbert. Now, why is He putting this on my heart? He's putting this on my heart because He wants the church to be integrated in the community. He wants us to be part of the life of the community. And this is a way for the church to be part of the life of the community. And in the process already of coming together and bringing this group of people together, what do we hear at the table as we're planning? We're over at St. Xavier Annex, their office, their temporary office, as they're finishing up the school, which is going to open in the fall. And we were over there because the provost of St. Xavier has become part of our planning team now, which I know her. I've got a relationship with her now. Is it strategic that the church, that the body of Christ would have a relationship with a school, with a university that's just across the street from us? Is that strategic? Do you think that God might want to use that for a purpose? I wasn't seeking it out, but because I'm like, I want to be community integrated, I want to be in the community, the Lord orchestrated this relationship, and now we can collaborate on things for our community. But we're over there. And it's just awesome to hear them saying, yeah, so the art walk will start at the church. And then we'll go down to the art intersection at the end, you know. And they kept saying, it'll be at the church, and this will happen at the church. And they're talking about the church as being part of what's happening in our community. That's community integration. That's being in the world and influencing, bringing the influence of the kingdom into our community. It's not that hard. It's just seeking the Lord, getting to the place of prayer, hearing strategies, and then just stepping out into areas that might seem foreign to you. Art is foreign to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I do love it. I asked Pastor Rick, by the way, to put one of his awesome pictures up in the lobby because I just, oh, that woman with the cross and the, oh, man, it's just so cool. I love it. There's been a lot of other things. I keep getting pulled into different symposiums and planning committees and stuff with mayors and the congressmen this last week. And I don't know how it happens, folks. I'm just saying, when we get a heart to be integrated and to be involved in things and to bring His kingdom into our community, we truly get that heart, the Lord will start opening doors and take us places that we didn't ever dream of, and He'll introduce us to the right people, and things will begin to unfold. Community integrated means that you have a heart for your community, and you're willing to put your time, your effort, and your very life into the community to bring, for the purpose of bringing the kingdom of God, being the light of the world. If you're a student, how can you be the light in your school? Don't just go to school to go to school, to take tests and do homework and play ball or whatever else you're doing. You have a bigger picture that you're the light of the world. You're actually bringing the very presence of Jesus Christ into your campus, onto your campus, into your classrooms. Have that perspective and watch what God does. Listen for what He's telling you and just see what happens. You work at an office. Bus, I appreciate a bus on Wednesday night prayer. He just said, I want to be more effective in my place of employment. I want new testimonies of how God is using me to affect the people that I work with. I want to be a light in my place of employment. He just asked for that. Man, we came around him and prayed for him and so full of excitement because the Lord is going to do amazing things in him and through him. Wherever the Lord puts you, be who you are, say what you know, and give what you have. I believe our location is handpicked by the Lord, so that we can be a community integrated church. We're in the heart of downtown Gilbert, in the Heritage District, in the very foundation of this community. Here we are to be used by God to be the light and to affect this community. Let's not take that for granted, but let's go with it. God has us here for a big purpose. This isn't small stuff. Let's just do the next right thing and see what God does. Let's have a heart for it. Also, we talked about how the Lord has called this facility, not just our, this isn't our church campus per se, we might call it that from time to time, but what this really is that we have here that the Lord blessed us with, this is a mission base. this building, this facility, that fellowship hall and all the classrooms that the VBS got to use, it's a mission base. And a mission base has a different feel than a church campus. It has the feel of breathing in and breathing out of the kingdom. You go to the mission base to get equipped, to get filled with God, to get resourced. For what? To go out and be the light in the world. Then you go out, you be the light, and you share Christ. You be who you are. You say what you know. You give what you have, and you bring them into the mission base. Those that are hurting, those that are needy. We talked about it last week. You don't have to have all the answers, but you need to bring them into the family of God where there are people that are gifted in different areas, who have different spiritual giftings, who have different resources, different abilities that the Lord has blessed them with. And so we bring them in, and we go out, and we bring them in, and we need to rest. So we come in, and we rest in the prayer room before the presence of God, and we get filled by His presence, His peace, and His joy, and we go back out and be who we are and say what we know and give what we have, and we see this rhythm of the kingdom start to happen in this church and through this church, and we begin to see a town transformed for the glory of God. This is the heart of God. This is how God operates. So I kind of want to do it that way. I kind of want to do it God's way. And just very quickly, I'm going to run through some things that we're going to be doing as we strengthen our foundation and get ready for this season that we're launching into. I mean, we're launching in September, I believe, into something amazing. I truly do. It flows right with our mission statement. I just want to tie some things in, you know, that we're called to help people encounter God's presence. And so some additional things that we're going to be doing to get us ready for being that community integrated church, for being the light, to get us ready, is we're going to be focusing in the month of August on prayer. Now, you know that that is a major focus of our church. If you look at the church calendar, the majority of things on the calendar are prayer meetings, because prayer is the taproot of this church. It's what feeds this church. It's what supplies us with the spiritual nutrients that we need to grow and to be who God's called us to be. But in August, we're going to have a month of prayer focus in August. And so what I want to encourage you is I want to encourage you to attend a prayer meeting. I would encourage you once a week. Check out which ones are out there, which ones fit for you, which ones that you feel called to go to. Go to a prayer meeting once a week in the month of August. A lot of the other classes and groups are going to take a break in the month of August because we want to give you room to get into the house of prayer, into the place of prayer. We're also going to be having a whole week of 24/7 prayer. I believe it's beginning the 23rd or something of the month. And Morgan Cianci is going to be helping coordinate that. We're going to have the calendar out there. You can sign up for time in the prayer room. But I want to let you know, the prayer room is always open. You can go to the calendar and you can register for time in the prayer room, even your own personal time. I do that. I have times that are slotted out for me every single week where I get to go in there and spend time with God. And then I come in to the Wednesday night prayer meeting every week. It's been 6 years now. I've been leading that weekly prayer meeting. Why? Because it's the taproot. It's the central, most dominant thing, that where the nutrients of the Spirit and of the things of God come from, the place of prayer. We're going to be developing a deliverance ministry as part of this to help people encounter God and find freedom as we're bringing in the lost and the hurting. And you know what? All of us still need some deliverance. We still have things that we need to take off and let go of. Amen? We do. So we're putting that together even right now. We want to help people belong. And in addition to our belong track, we're going to be launching a new believers mentoring program. If you have a heart for new believers and to help walk them through a new relationship with Jesus Christ, that critical first 4, 5, or 6 weeks of their new birth in Christ Jesus, if you have a heart for that, I need to talk to you. Because you can be one of those mentors that can hold somebody's hand and walk them through that and then help them get connected into the body of Christ. We're going to be really helping people grow in God's love, because that's another part of our mission statement. So we're launching new grow classes. We're going to call them grow classes and grow groups. Why? Because we're helping people grow in God's love. And so part of the grow classes are going to be our traditional life groups. There's going to be men's grow groups. There's going to be women's grow groups that are already starting. So we want to encourage people to get together. We're going to have classes that are beginning in the fall. In September, Pastor Rick is going to be launching a class on Genesis. He's going to be teaching through the first 11 chapters of Genesis. So we've got a lot of different things that are coming up that are happening. Why? Because this is what the church does. This is what the church is about. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 42, verses 42 through 47. Oh, by the way, one other little bit of information. We're also going to be introducing next week. Some of you already have the inside scoop, I know. But we're going to be introducing our new Kids Life Children's Ministry Director. next week. So I'm excited about that. My wife's a little excited about that too. We're the light of the world. And when we do things God's way, when we live God's way, growth happens. Favor happens. And God is glorified. I just want to read, as we're closing, beginning of verse 42 of Acts 2. This is what the church did. The church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. I'm going to tell you that there are many wonders and miraculous things that are happening right now in and through this church family. You hear some of the testimonies here. You come to some of the prayer meetings. You hear about them. You see how God is moving in power, physical, emotional, spiritual breakthrough that is amazing. And I want to say this is something that we're really sensing. Velvet and I were sensing this even on Fridays. We're in the prayer room together, that we need to become that church that even does a better job at testifying of God's goodness. We need to glorify Him with our testimonies and not forget the amazing things that He's done for us and that He's doing in us, even right now. So then, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They shared with one another. They helped take care of one another. I got to say, this church is so amazing at that. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Now, look at this, verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That means that getting together was important to them. Now, these are ingredients. This is a picture of the early church. We read the book of Acts and we go, wow, the early church was awesome. We want what it had. We want biblical proportion stuff happening. Okay. The Lord says, all right, I'm showing you how this all works right here. Oh, but every day they did get together. Are you in touch with your brothers and sisters every day in some way? Are you praying for somebody? Are you close enough with your brothers and sisters to where you're ministering to somebody every single day? It could just be a text message. It could just be a call, an email. You know, something that just says, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you. Anyway, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together. There was a word about that, encouraging that. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The church grew. The lost were found. I mean, it's amazing. This is how it works. This is the kingdom living, kingdom life. This is community integrated. This is that focus on the things of God and not letting the world distract us from the most important eternal things. So I want to conclude this morning by reiterating this assignment. Our assignment is to see the hurting and the lost, to stop and care for them, and to invite them in. I want to encourage us to connect in this month of prayer in August. And I also want to say, as you leave the parking lot today, you're going to see the last sign as you lead on the light post. And that sign says, go shine. As you're exiting, it says, go shine. I want us to be a church that remembers that every single day, that as we leave the house, that we are the light of the world. And the world needs us. They need the light. I want to ask the ushers to begin to hand out the elements, and we're going to take communion.